Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Later in the hour, we discuss a new documentary film exploring the points where natural disasters meet income inequality, and we hear what's on tap for the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival's August performances. But first, we welcome filmmaker Jay Craven back to the program. His latest film is titled Wetware. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Mindy. Good to talk to you.
The film is based on a book by the same name written by Craig Nova. Give us a sense of the storyline and why you thought it would translate well to film.
Well, the first thing that attracted me to it really was the extremely rich visual world that sort of combines sleek near future, technical and technological future with sort of brick and film noirish retro sort of neighborhoods and corners and subterranean activities, a little bit like Blade Runner, I would say. And beyond that, the story, which deals with genetic modification and a world where people are, sort of down on their luck and willing to submit themselves for genetic modifications in order to do jobs that no one wants to do. And where at the same time, a sort of more ambitious genetic modification plot comes into play, where super soldiers and espionage agents are being envisioned to do, super high work in an increasingly complicated international environment. So a genetic engineer worked with two prototypes to prepare them for these higher end jobs, and begins to develop emotional attachment to the female prototype. They escape and sort of vanish into the inner workings of this tangled sort of noirish community. So it's a bit of a thriller, it's a bit of an adventure. Also raises some questions about what it is to be human. What are the prospects for genetic modification? The story grew partly from a documentary that I made in 2002, working to interview combat veterans from World War II, Vietnam, and Iraq. Inevitably, the conversation turned towards PTSD. A senior government researcher at a veterans hospital told me about their work in creating genetic modifications so that soldiers would not have a traumatic response to violence, that they would be fearless in the face of extreme danger and you could erase their emotional memories. And so that sort of real life story connected to Craig Nova's fictional story and sort of drew me in. And when I had the opportunity to develop it, the rest is sort of history. We shot it on Nantucket, of course, most of it. And, turning Nantucket into a kind of futuristic world was fun.
That's challenging, right? So now you work with college students on your projects. Did you find this younger generation had different perspectives on some of the ethical issues raised in the film than those of us who didn't grow up with this technology?
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons that I launched the project in the first place, is that, I'd done the previous film was an 1872 period piece, also shot on Nantucket. And this, I thought, would be an interesting change, and the kids just grabbed onto it. And of course, we spend 7 hours a week for, 8 weeks debating, revising, and discussing the script. Gender roles became a big part of the conversation. Technology, certainly, trying to render something that was truthful and at the same time imaginative. And they facilitated a lot of that discussion. I think that they really helped to streamline, focus, and sort of clarify the story elements.
Was it a challenge to find the right performers for the film?
We held open auditions. I mean, the main sort of known actor in the film is Jerry O'Connell, who started off in the film Stand By Me when he was like 12 years old, and was in Jerry Maguire and many others. But otherwise, we drew the actors, many of them from auditions that we held in New York. A young, recent Juilliard graduate plays the lead, who's gone on to be on TV shows The Deuce and Nashville. Gordon Clapp got involved with me again, who also was in Peter and John, and some of the actors who I've worked with a lot. We have a fabulous human clock character, which is sort of, the next step for Siri, that is this fabulous sort of European new circus artist, Aurelia Thierry. So it's an eclectic cast and one that I was really quite pleased with. It's not easy to develop characters who are, first of all, modified and inhabiting a near future. And so the modified characters are both human and not quite human because they've been adjusted.
Yeah.
And that was a challenge. And one of them is more modified than the other. The young female character is actually is programmed to include emotional capacity that the other character doesn't have, for example. And so working with these, slight gradations and calibrations of emotion and character was really fabulous, fascinating, fun, and certainly challenging.
Yeah. Now, some of your previous films have been period pieces, and as you mentioned, you filmed many of them on Nantucket because the island has these wonderful historic buildings. So why did you decide to film Wetware, which is set in the future on the island?
Well, again, first of all, we knew that we could build sets on Nantucket, and so three of our sets are built at the American Legion Hall, where we'd worked before, and they were great to work with, and we were able to sort of, get in there and create whatever we wanted to, and we had a fabulous young production designer, a recent graduate from the NYU MFA program in design, where we have a special relationship, and she just went to town with it and created what I thought was really magic when you think about it. Also, I know of back alleys in Nantucket, and the main thing that we were looking for in terms of sets were corners of a place, and so we ended up piecing together bits and pieces to create our world, which is really not the world of Nantucket.
Yeah.
We also shot a bit in Vermont, and so we were matching Nantucket locations to Vermont locations. The interior of the hotel is in Vermont. The exterior of the hotel is in Nantucket.
You know, you mentioned that the genetic modification in real life to try and deal with PTSD, and that sounds like science fiction in itself. But you have this thing with your characters under pressure, I guess, right? And you have all these ethical questions happening. So is this a film we're going to walk away from thinking about these ethical questions in reality, or do you help us with a point of view on that?
Well, I think absolutely that people will think about the reality of what we're talking about, because these are ethical issues that are, beginning to emerge all over the place. Of course, about a year or so ago, there was word that a Chinese scientist had developed an artificial genome, for example. And then about a month ago, it was told that a San Francisco scientist worked with the Chinese scientist. And so they have this capacity suddenly to create humans with no biological parents. That's one issue. There are other issues that come into play, like expendability for these kinds of modified characters. And there, in fact, are Supreme Court precedents that address that issue unfavorably, I would say, because they sort of affirm the ability of national security or military or government projects to render humans expendable. So questions of what is it to be human? Will there be different gradations of being human? We even see some of that, we could argue, today in some of what's happening around the border, people being separated from their kids. I mean, all of these things do raise those ethical questions, and I think this film does put them on the table.
The premiere of Wetware is August 4th at the Cape Cinema in Dennis. It's going to include a Q&A with you, Jay. I would imagine you enjoy those Q&As.
I love them because they lead in any number of directions. They also help me to actually understand the film better. On this film, for the second time of all of my films, this is a film where I'm actually keeping a diary of my experiences with the film, because audience members bring to me new insight, new perspective. Somebody at a screening in Vermont last week brought up an issue, and in fact, I've now scheduled a lunch with her because I want to explore it further. Our job is to put things in play, to put ideas in play, and to let audiences make their own next steps and to find meaning and to find resonance where they can.
Yeah. Now, do you have plans in the works for screenings on the islands?
We had a preview screening on Nantucket last August, and then we did some more work on the film. We will be screening on Martha's Vineyard in the fall, also in Chatham, and Wellfleet. So we are working, and also Falmouth, as a matter of fact. The Woods Hole Film Festival wants to bring us in the fall. So We will be on the Cape, and we toured extensively with Peter and John, had a great time, and so we're looking forward to doing it again. Our premiere is, which is the Massachusetts premiere, is at the Cape Cinema. They've been very long allies. I mean, Eric at the Cape Cinema showed my very first feature film back in 1994, so we go way back together.
Yeah,
and I love that theater. It's the most beautiful theater in the country, I think.
We'll post a link with more information about screenings of Wetware at our website, capeandislands.org. Jay Craven, thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Mindy.
Coming up after break, how income inequality and race determine those hardest hit by natural disaster.